and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Pull up some dust and sit down.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Pedro Fernandez.
My advice to you is to start drinking heavily.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk. Often imitated, but never duplicated. 35, 36, make that 37 plus years now of uninterrupted radio. My name is Pedro Fernandez, stuttering along here. What's happening? We're talking boxing MMA for the next hour. This is hour number two of our two-hour show. Of course, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time is when we start. This is hour number two. We're live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, the Dan Patrick Channel, like a thousand other internet platforms. You might even be able to listen to the show, of course, in the podcast. Of course, the podcast we put up at anchor.com, the Ring Talk Live Worldwide Podcast. So in this hour, I will bring you the cut man extraordinaire, the man that stops bleeding. That's why he's sort of like a feminine napkin. That's the best way to put him. Anywhere he goes, he stops people bleeding. I'm talking about Jacob Stitch-Duran. We'll hear from Jacob Stitch-Duran in about 15 minutes, of course. We'll also check in on Holly Holm. Man, the preacher's daughter. She got to give her some props, man. 14-5 now in her world MMA career. Of course, she kicked the snot out of Ronda Rousey in that huge upset down there in Australia. In fact, you know, had Ronda and her been gay, it would have been like domestic violence. I mean, she lumped her up. It was like, whoa, big upset. Biggest upset as far as women's MMA history ever. I'll talk about it seriously. Biggest upset ever. And now, Holly Holm in a bit of a comeback role. Of course, she lost that title fight to Miesha Tate, and then she had some rough goings after that, but now she's back at 135. I think she's got three or four wins in a row, and she took on Irene Aldana last night. She won unanimous night across the board. So the preacher's daughter is back. I give her props. She's got to be like 37, 38 years old. Classy girl, no doubt about that. But we've got her, we've got Stitch, and maybe we'll go with Israel Adesanya as well. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA.
Just under 90 seconds remains in the fourth round.
He used that arm to try to take away the base.
Oh, look at the kicks.
That's old school Hicks and Gracie style.
Oh, he's got the choke.
Stuck it in.
Penn looking to choke out Florian. BJ Penn looking to remain the champion. It is all over. BJ Penn has defeated Teddy Florian.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez. Some of the new Tower of Power sounds, of course, you can check them out at towerofpower.com. Emilio Castillo turning 70 last week. Of course, the founder, the co-founder of Tower of Power, the man that kept the tower alive 52 years now. More power to Emilio, and King Me is what they call him, King Mimi. Bottom line is, cool dude sometimes, but a hard guy to get along with. Speaking of a person that's hard to get along with, Holly Holm is not the person hard to get along with. She's the easiest person in the world to get along with. I mean, when we have press gatherings or post-fight interviews, I mean, she was always accommodating. Even when she lost, she was always accommodating. She always had a lot of class. So I have a lot of respect for Holly Holm. I thought that, you know, her and her team made a bad move by going into the Miesha Tate fight instead of taking and waiting for the Ronda Rousey rematch. Of course, that would have been a multi-million dollar deal. They wanted to call their own shots. Lenny Fresquez and those guys in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of course, who were guiding Holly Holm, her promoter manager per se, wanted to call his own shots, wanted to tell Dana White, guess what, man, I'm in control this time, I'm in control. Well, guess what, you were in control just for about 5 minutes. Once you lost that title to Miesha Tate, it was all over. Of course, Miesha Tate losing to Amanda Nunes, and Amanda Nunes moving up from 135 to 145 pounds and just dominating Chris Cyborg Santos, knocking her out in the blink of an eye. So what can I say, Amanda Nunes and Holly Holm, will they hook it up? Maybe, if Amanda Nunes wants to go back to 135 pounds, I think, because, of course, last night, Holly was a winner, a unanimous nod over Irene Aldana. She moved her record to 14-5. Of course, Aldana came in at 12-4, left 12-5, but good fight. I mean, if you like Holly Holm, it was a great fight. She boxed so smartly. It was one of the slickest boxing exhibitions I've ever seen in mixed martial arts. I mean, she once in a while she'd go for the takedown, she switched things up and changed the levels per se, but she won on scores of 50 to 44, 50 to 45, and 50 to 45. So one judge gave her an extra point there. Straight up, I thought that Holly Holm was totally dominant. And you know what? You got to give this young lady lots of props.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, after five rounds of action, we go to the judges' scorecards. Here are the totals. 50-44, 50-45, and 50-45, all for your winner by unanimous decision, the Preacher's Daughter, Holly Holm!
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with your winner, Holly Holm. Holly, that was a dominant performance, but you had to work hard to stay away from her. What was the game plan coming in?
Oh, you know, she's a mover, just like me. So I just had to think about what I gotta do to block if I was fighting myself a little bit, you know? And really, I have nothing to do with this. My coach is telling me what to do. It all comes down. I've said every fight, if I've ever lost, it's not because of the coaching. It's because of my performance. So tonight, we just kind of put the game plan together and was able to be victorious.
And that was the game plan. Were there any variables, anything that surprised you about it?
Well, we have a game plan for if it's here, do this. If it's here, do that. If it's here, do this. So there's some things that I need to work on, obviously. But I always say I like to learn from my wins and not from my losses because I learn each time. So
the goal is obviously to get back to the belt. You want that gold around your waist. What do you need to do to get there?
Just keep working hard like I am. You know, when I first came into MMA, it was kind of like, you know, watch out for her boxing. And then when I started throwing the kicks in their faces, they're like, watch out for her kicks. And then I start, you know, watch out for her clinch or, you know, my wrestling. So when I came over to MMA, I didn't come to be a boxer in an MMA cage, you know, in an octagon. I came to be a mixed martial artist, and it's taken time. I didn't start any grappling until like 4 weeks before my first fight in MMA. So I'm still very green. I'm learning. So I just want to put it all together.
And have you got anybody in mind? Is there one person that you think could get you a title shot, or is it straight to the belt for you?
I like to just let the future fold out, you know. I have a great team around me that worries about that, and I just train.
Congratulations on an excellent win.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you to everyone at home. I know everybody always says that, but we couldn't be here without all your love and support. Love you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Preacher's Daughter, Holly Holm.
She's a classy girl. She's as classy as she sounds. She's not a phony. I kid you not, man. Sort of like Andre Ward, you know? People say to me, the son of God. Oh, come on. You know that's a rap. No, no, no. Andre really is the real deal. I mean, I've known Andre now, what, most of his life? And I've never heard any altercations with the police or even an argument between him and Tiffany. I mean, he's just like the all-American guy. And, of course, Holly Holm's the all-American girl. So fantastic. They're both representative of combat sports, and I congratulate them both. Irene Aldana, she came to fight last night. She had that left hook, and she was knocking people dead with that left. She had a left hook like Joe Frazier, okay, or Pepino Cuevas. But guess what? When you can't land it, doesn't work. Ask George Foreman with Muhammad Ali. In the co-feature, a heavyweight bout. And what are they doing? They had these two slobs fighting in the heavyweight co-feature. I don't know what was up. They were like, they were fat middleweights. That's what they were. Maybe fat welterweights. Anyway, this guy, Carlos Felipe and Yogan De Castro. Felipe won. The only reason why I mention that is that it was a heavyweight co-main event. And the co-feature, what I'm trying to say is it really sucked. The women's bantamweight bout on the card, of course, on the main pay card, I'm talking about the ESPN Plus and ESPN card, Jermaine Duranemi, the girl that walked away from a 145-pound title fight with Chris Bart Cyborg Santos because she realized Cyborg was going to destroy her. I mean, she knew I couldn't beat her. That's what she said. I can't beat her. There's no reason why I should fight Cyborg Santos. Of course, Cyborg Santos ended up getting knocked out by Amanda Nunes. But anyway, she beat Julianne Pennant last night. Just choked her out. Choked her like into unconsciousness. I'm seriously. So they call it a technical submission. But the bottom line is Julianne Pennant and Jermaine Duranemi went rock and rolling for three rounds. Got to give those girls credit. As I said before, when the women fight in MMA, they come, they deliver. They've got the tools, they've got the ability, they've got the desire, and they've got the drive. When women come in professional boxing, they have all of that except they don't have the equipment. They don't have the right equipment. They're fighting with men's equipment. They're fighting with men's boxing gloves on. I'm telling you, think about this. You've got a girl weighing 147 pounds, and you've got a guy weighing 147 pounds. Now, who's going to hit harder? the man. The male is going to hit harder because he's bigger, he's stronger, he's physically, he's got more muscle mass, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if 99.9% of the time, the male's going to hit harder, okay? So why would you have the woman wearing the same size glove as a woman, as a man? It doesn't make any sense. You don't have him swinging the same size bat in baseball. You don't have him using the same size basketball in the WNBA. Well, so why is it? Why is it? Because boxing is behind times. It is behind the times. They just are. I mean, they always have been. They're always the last to catch on. I mean, the USC, I mean, they come up with this drug testing. I don't know if it's working because it looks like a lot of guys are still on Flintstone vitamins. But, you know, they came up with the drug testing. They're starting to push that a little bit harder. And the sanctioning bodies in boxing are doing as well. But, you know, that's what really worries me about combat sports. Flintstone vitamins, performance-enhancing drugs, because you can give your all and still get beat. I don't get that. It's sort of like I tried to explain to you what it's like to get robbed in a fight. And for all of you out there that are listening that have played blackjack in your life, and or 21 to some people, okay, so you get a king and an ace, and that's a blackjack. And you say to yourself, man, I'm going to win this. There's no way anybody could beat us. And then some guy beats you with a 17. And you say to yourself, you pound on the table. You say, wait. And then you realize, that's boxing, baby. Anyway, some of the other fights on the card were not even worth mentioning, but one UFC veteran did come back and talk about Carlos Condit and beat Court McGee. Court McGee was on the show in the past. I think he was from Canada. Yeah, he was supposed to be the heir apparent to GSP. That didn't happen. He lost a 3-round decision, unanimous, not across the board, 30-27 or 3 rounds a zip. Now, the upcoming UFC schedule, of course, Khabib's going to be in action pretty soon. Khabib's a monster. Khabib's being the 155-pound champion that's allowed to come into the cage or the octagon or whatever you want to call it, the square where they hook it up. At 175, 180 pounds, he's going to take on Justin Gaethje October 24th at a site to be announced. Of course, these fights of late have been at the Flash Forum or Fight Island or in Dubai, whatever it is. They did the September 27th card there. They did the October 4th card. Of course, that was today's card, but it was on last night because the time difference from there to the United States. But the bottom line is the Korean Zombie is going to hook it up, yikes, with Brian Ortega. And this fight scares me. Why? Because Brian Ortega at one point time was a beautiful young man. And I don't mean beautiful just in looks, but he was, I'm not gay, but he was gorgeous as far as looks were concerned, and he could speak both English and Spanish. He had these foundations going as far as these charity foundations were going. I mean, he had it all. Plus, he could fight, and he was undefeated, okay? And then they put him in that fight with Max Holloway, and granted, you know, he was worthy to fight for the title, but after 2 rounds, he was a beaten man. He was a thoroughly beaten man, and they let it go for 2 more rounds. They let him get beat off for an extra 10 minutes. Why? Why didn't his corner throw in the towel? Why didn't the referee stop the fight? Why didn't the doctor step up? Because Dr. Dana, Master Dana, I'm talking about Dana White, of course, the guy that runs the UFC, the face of the UFC, and that sort of bothers me a lot because what he says has a lot of impact in the world of combat sports. In fact, he says stuff, and then politicians make certain moves. I kid you not. He's got all kinds of clout, Dana White. Nothing but a guy that was running a Boston boxing club, a little boxing gym in West Boston, until Whitey Bulger threatened to kill him, and he had to leave town. The mob threatened Dana White, scared him out of Boston. He went to Vegas, met up with the Fertitta brothers. They bought the UFC. The rest is history. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tower of Power to the break.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If you give me enough money, I'll fight my own mother.
This is East Bay Soul. Let it play a minute. We'll bring in Stitch in just a second. Of course, East Bay Soul is a band run by Greg Adams. Greg Adams, one of the original Tower of Power members, a graduate of Westmore High School out here in Daly City, California. Remember, they offered him the Juliet School of Music. He said, no, I'm going to turn pro at the age of 17 and join Tower of Power, and the rest is history. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Time to bring in a champ, folks. A champion father, a champion husband, a champion in life, and of course, he's good at what he does professionally as well. I'm talking about Cutman Jacob Stitch Duran. Stitch, how's it going?
Man, it's been a while, Pedro. I'm doing good, brother. Good to hear from you.
Well, it's only been a couple of months, man. Don't push it like that. Don't push it. Hey, so it's only been a couple of months. I apologize for not keeping more contact. Now, talk to me about last night. Whoa, you were there. What was going on in your mind when these guys were going to the elevator fight up and down?
It was funny as hell. And, you know, and what's funny, at the end of the fight, I'm talking to Jose, and I said, man, you got dropped four times. He goes, I did. I said, yeah. How many times? I said, four times. He didn't remember. So it was that kind of fight. And, you know, and I told him during the fight that, you know, the knockdowns that you were giving Sergey, he was taking it harder than the knockdowns that Jose was taking. And, but yeah, he don't remember the knockdown.
I remember the ringing in my ears.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I remember about getting Bob Boom, instant ringing in the ears, baby, time to get up. It was, I mean, boxing needed that, though, and fortunately it was on ESPN, and it came on at 11 o'clock or 8 o'clock Pacific time, which was a perfect time in this, a Saturday night. A lot of the country is on still a semi-lockdown, so I thought it was just a perfect time for this good fight to take place, and people watched two guys go back and forth, and, you know, they aren't Hagler and Hearns, but it was a good fight.
Yeah, both of them, man. You know, I've been just looking at him. And I mean, at the weigh-ins, just to see, he had muscles on top of his muscles on his back. I saw him at the weigh-ins when he was flexing, and I just knew he was a heavy, heavy puncher.
You know, heavy punchers, and these guys went back and they just went back and forth. And you know, Ivan opened that up really strong, and the way he, but the way it closed, you know, I mean, I've seen a lot of knockouts in my life, but when their legs get bent under each other, that just makes me really cringe. You know what I'm talking about. That leg just makes me cringe. Because, folks, let me describe this to you on the radio. The guy gets hit with a punch, and his leg collapses underneath him, and he leans back, and it's so he can rip his knee into a thousand different pieces. All kinds of different stuff can happen. But the bottom line is, that was an ugly finish.
Yeah, even the ankle, Pedro, you know, you can rip the muscles around the ankle. Just by that type of layout like that. And I worked with Prokop when he got knocked out by Gabe Gonzaga, but he was knocked out, but he was snoring. He was going, and you know, let me make a point on that. When they said, you know, take the mouthpiece out, in theory, that's a myth, because, you know, I've worked with a lot of doctors from Las Vegas, and they are the best. But, you know, you leave the mouthpiece in, as long as he's breathing, leave the mouthpiece in, that way in case he goes into convulsions or something like that, then that's protected. But as long as he's breathing, you know, just let him regroup that's something I'll address to Bernardo when I see him. Let's put the perspective right, because a mouthpiece does nothing when it comes to him breathing in through his nose or his mouth.
In 1982, sitting up that first Golden Glove win that nobody thought I was going to win, when I beat Keith Rucker in the Olympic Auditorium, sent somebody up here, Don Chargan sent somebody down from Sacramento, California to watch this guy, Keith Rucker, and I ended up destroying him. But the night before, I fought this guy named Herbert Myers, and I knocked him cold, and he didn't wake up until the ambulance, and it was a little rough celebrating. You know what I'm saying? It was really rough, because they carted him out unconscious. He didn't wake up until the ambulance. He woke up finally. But when they carted him out of there, and this is right after the Ray Mancini Dooku Kim fight like 2 months before, so it was tough to celebrate. I mean, here you score this fantastic victory, but it's hard to celebrate.
Yeah, you know, I can understand that. I remember Kevin Kelly said a quote. He says, when fighters fight, their souls touch. So I think I see that in you knocking him out, that, you know, even though you guys were gladiators going out of toe-to-toe, there's still a heartfelt sensation of respect for the guy you just knocked out.
You're scared.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You're scared because here's what's up. Cross my heart. I've never been knocked unconscious. I've been knocked down, but I've never been knocked unconscious. And I've seen people that get knocked unconscious, and to me, that's the ultimate nightmare, to get knocked into another time zone, to another zip code. Yikes.
Yeah, well, you know, Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, you know, when I interviewed him one time, he says the ultimate goal of a fighter is to render his opponent unconscious. And that's the truth. You know, the best victory is a knockout.
Well, ask Dillian White about that. Dillian White, of course, and Alexander Bovetkin about a fortnight ago. Was that a good one, a little shocker? I mean, Bovetkin getting knocked down two times and knocking out that guy that came in 30 pounds heavier than he was before. I thought that, listen, anytime anybody disrespects the game, and I think that Dillian White disrespected the game a couple times with some performance enhancing issues, and then, of course, him coming in 30 pounds overweight, you know, so maybe he got his comeuppance.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a game where you can't take shortcuts, man. It's a discipline factor all the way.
You know, I talked about that with Larry Merchant in hour number one, and that American athletes aren't hungry enough anymore, that we can't get guys that are hungry because of the fact the American lifestyle has changed so much. So, I mean, you know, I can't get guys to do what I did for the Golden Gloves in professional ranks. Are you out of your mind? I mean, that's what they tell me. You're going to run this mountain. Are you out of your mind? But I mean, so what I'm trying to say is the athletes are so much different now.
Yeah, you still have them, but now they call them Russian. You know, these guys come in with a whole different attitude, Pedro. You know, they're still hungry. And I know what you're talking about, you know, running those extra miles or, you know, going those extra rounds and all that. These Russians, they don't even complain.
Yeah, well, the reason why they don't complain is they have to wipe their butt with a rock. And when you say to yourself, listen, here's what's up. You're wiping your butt with a rock. Wait, time out. You're wiping your butt with a rock, but we'll give you some nice soft toilet paper if you can beat that guy up across. Are you kidding? I mean, that's all you've got to tell a guy. Food, toilet paper, I'm knocking them out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they're real quiet, but once you, you know, break into their barriers, man, they'll cover your back as well as they cover their own back.
Okay. But herein lies my issue with Russian fighters and these guys, especially in MMA. I believe that if I weigh in 139 pounds and I'm going to fight a guy at 144 pounds max, you hear where I'm coming from? I mean, max.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to fight some guy like Khabib. If I come in at 155 and Khabib comes in at 155 and then I gain 4 or 5 pounds in the next day and he gains 26 pounds, that crap ain't fair.
Yeah, well, that's been happening all the time, Pedro.
But it doesn't matter. That's crazy.
I know. You know, I interviewed Mills Lane once. He goes, everybody needs to fight at the walk-around weight. You know, look at me. I still weigh 145.
No, well, you're right, because we were doing television. You know, we were doing the Let's Get It On TV series together, me, him, and Al Bernstein, and we were going all over the country. We had the CBS contract in line. I had signed it, sent it back to the network, sent it back to the agent, and, of course, he got this stroke. But he used to tell me, I walk around to 147, Pedro. I walk around to my fighting limit, blah, blah, blah. And he was. But that guy was dedicated to the bone, because here we were in Cincinnati, Ohio. It was like 85 degrees. I look out the window, and there's Mills running on the golf course.
Yeah.
Good old Mills. May he continue success as far as his recovery is concerned. So how's the family doing? How's life? We'll get into cuts and fights and that kind of stuff in our next segment. But how's your family doing down there in Las Vegas? I mean, the COVID virus impacting you guys at all?
Well, yeah, I mean, just like everybody else. But, you know, I'm driving now. My wife is driving, and I got your speakerphone, so she got a big smile on her face when she heard that comment. No, but we're doing good.
Tom, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but how long you guys been together now?
I mean, how long? 30-something years?
Yeah.
How much? But it's been a long time.
You know, but
we've been married 28.
I know, but you snatched her when she was like 9 years old, so we figure out she's only like 47 now, so more props to her, of course, Mrs. Jacob Stitch Duran. Jacob Stitch Duran's gonna stick around. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We'll keep him just for a couple more minutes and we'll let him go with his wife, but you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We'll get into some boxing MMA in our next segment, of course. Talking personal, man. This is my buddy. We go back like 45 years. 45. Thought about that the other day. 45 years. How many people you can say are still alive that you go back 45 years with and are so cool? As cool as Jacob Stitch Duran. Not too many people. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Little Rick Stevens to the break. Bump City. Sitting by the dance floor checking it out. Watching the man with the fast feet. Got the hippies playing from the bad boogaloo. The big old bag of tricks. Down to the nightclub. Uh-huh. We'll be bumping at Bob Shack.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
So I'm hanging out with Cuba Gooding Jr. at the 2004, the Contender Finale, right? Okay. And I'm telling him about his father. And his father, like, had spent this entire show talking about his son, this and that. He said, oh, I'm sorry, this and that. So then I saw the old man about a year and a half later, and I told him, you know, I spent some time talking with your son. He didn't want to talk about nothing but you. So anyway, they loved each other. May the great Cuba Gooding rest in peace. Hey, may he rest in peace. There's no doubt about that. Stitch Duran's on the line from Las Vegas, Nevada. In the background is his lovely wife. Of course, she is really like the kick-ass person in the duo here. She like gets things done. Anyway, we're talking about the USC, and I want to mention this for a second. You know, I've talked about the USC and the fact that they're, I consider nothing but a pimp outfit because of the fact that only maybe 12 to 20 cents on the dollar, according to Dana, goes to the fighter. But last week, Israel Adesanya, now 20-0, took on Paulo Costa, was 12-0. But it was only the second time in USC history where two undefeated fighters vied for a title fight. And that sort of illustrates a lot about the USC, because they put these guys in death matches after death matches, and there's no way you can build yourself up and to be a super fighter unless you're the freak like John Jones.
Yeah, you know, Pedro, that's why, you know, a lot of the guys like Nate Quarry and even Randy Couture and all these guys are trying to get the Muhammad Ali Reform Act bill signed so it could include mixed martial arts because, yeah, at this point, you know, these guys are all puppets and Dana just kind of pulling on the strings and making shots, you know, calling the shots. You know, they're talking about now Conor McGregor with Dustin Poirier, you know, and how it all depends on Conor, whether he agrees, you know. So it's not the best of the best fighting the best.
You know, and politics are involved too, because remember when the pandemic hit down there in Florida, the governor said that the USC was essential business.
Well, look what that governor's been doing anyway, so that don't count.
Okay. Israel Adesanya, the aforementioned Israel Adesanya, the world middleweight champion, USC middleweight champion, 20-0. He seems to be an incredibly talented young man. You know what? And below the waist, he's well stocked.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. You know, do they have an extra large cup or something like that?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to infer. You know, I'm trying to say he is a hell of a guy. He's got the guts down deep. I mean, he took on intestinal fortitude, stones, whatever I want to. Anyway, but he went to Paulo Costa, went straight to him. I mean, this guy was a monster, 12-0, 13-0. Everybody was running from him, scared of him. He was like this 255-pound guy that comes down to 185. And that's another thing, Stitch. How the hell can a guy come from 255 to 185 and then go bounce back to 220 and you got to fight him with a 35-pound disadvantage? That's not right. Israel did it because he was the astute kickboxer, but guess what? 99% of the world couldn't have done what Israel did.
And that's why everybody's scared of him, but, you know, that's why they have, like, the IBA, IBF, they have that 10-pound rule. You can't get no more than 10 pounds, you know, before your fight. So, and that's why I think, you know, the Muhammad Ali Reform Act bill has put some significant rules in there that make it even for everybody.
Well, I you might be working for these guys, but Bellator seems to hit and miss as far as their television shows are concerned, and they don't seem to be getting on a regular schedule. And that's been their MO before the COVID thing. Are they going to break out at some point in time? I mean, and just go like full force?
Well, I hope so. You know, I know Scott, you know, they're on the track to do something, and it's tough, especially now that you got this COVID, but, you know, from what I understand, they're going into, I think, CBS. So slowly but surely, you know, they're climbing, you know, and, you know, hope that they continue having some good fights. And same with the PFL. You know, they kind of took this whole year off with the pandemic, and we'll see what happens when they come back. So that's a tough, tough business, you know.
You work and live in Las Vegas, and of course you've been in the bubble, the MGM bubble, so everybody's tested going. Do they test you going in there?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's a well put program. I mean, really, it's an excellent program. So when we did the 13 shows in 6.5 weeks, I would check in on Sunday, get tested, and I'd literally have to go into my room and stay there till the next day when I got cleared, and then of course I'd go to the weigh-ins for the Tuesday fight, and then Wednesday before the weigh-ins, I'd have to get tested again for the Thursday fight. And now we do it on weekends, so I'll check in on Thursday and go through the same routine. But you know, we make fun of it and call it the boxing version of Shawshank Redemption, you know, because we literally, we go from the 12th floor of the hotel to the convention center, and we have escorts that take us, and we're totally 100% away from the public. But I'm glad to be there, part of that history.
But here's what's up, man. This is, you know, I don't want to go into the numbers and this and that, but I know people that have died from this. I know people that have been seriously sick from it. And then I know people like Kenny Rayford from the UK that had it in 4 or 5 days and he kicked it. You know, he was 60 years old. He's close to 60 and he kicked it. So, I mean, some people, it impacts them differently, but there's 200,000 people that have died on this. And I'm a little bit, listen, Stitch, I'm not a germ freak, but I'm a little scared of this. I'm absolutely frightened.
Well, so am I, Pedro. You know, and that's why, like, say, my wife and I, you know, we stay to ourselves, and we're very limited on the family that comes by. And but once she knows, once I get into the bubble and I get tested, that I'm there with people that are tested and good to go. So, you know, blessed to be working at this point. And, I mean, I've done 19 shows with them already since this pandemic kicked in. So, yeah, I understand. But when I go home, Charlotte knows that I'm healthy and I'm clean. So, for me, it's the best of both worlds.
19 shows and you haven't had to leave the city.
Yeah, I know it, man. That's, you know, you're talking about Bellator, and I also do the bare knuckle fights with Dave Feldman. And then I turned down the fights with Cecilia Brockes and Jessica McCaskill because I'm not ready to travel. I'm like you. You know, at my age, I'm 68 years old, and I got to be cautious. And until people really finalize and perfect the travel part of it, I'm good to be working here. You know, you got Lomachenko coming up with Lopez, and you got Inoue with Maloney, and so some good fights. Terrence Crawford coming back. So I'm glad just to be part of that and to be one of the house cut men.
Let's talk about it. Wow, Teofimo Lopez and Vasyl Lomachenko. I think that's like the fight of the absolute year, and it's going to be on ESPN where these other guys are teasing you with pay-per-views, but that's going to be on ESPN. Man, he's a 3.5 to 4 to 1 favorite. Does Vasyl Lomachenko deserve to be that big of a favorite against this kid?
I don't think so. You know, this is, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking that whoever gets the first shot in, you know, is going to be the victor. But, you know, when I look at these type of fights, Pedro, I look at them on not who's going to win, who's going to lose. What are the probability of me working as a cut man and Mike Basil working as a cut man? And I think the chances for both of us are pretty high.
Okay.
So whether it's done through swelling or cut, but I think they're going to go at it toe-to-toe.
Is there a rivalry amongst cut men? There was when I was writing, there was a rivalry amongst writers. Is there a little rivalry, a little silent rivalry between cut men?
No, there's not. You know,
no?
That's a good question because, you know, we have an association, the International Cut Men Association, and we all work together as a team now. But before, I told you that guy that told me to F off, you know, when I asked him with one of the guys from the Bay Area. And you know him, and I know him.
Sonny Morrison.
Throwing his name up. Yeah, so how'd he say it? Yeah, he told me to F off because, you know, I told him I was trying to learn to be a cut man, and he didn't want to, you know, he thought it was his secret. But I learned from that, and I teach people now how to be cut men.
You know, I go back a little bit as far as the old school cut man is concerned. But I remember Eddie the Clot Aliano using Mansell solution to close Iran Barkley's eye against Tommy Hearns. Iran Barkley would end up winning that fight, but he had to have surgery afterwards to have these steel chips removed from his cut.
Yeah, I worked with Livingstone Bramble when he fought a kid in some Native reservation. And same thing, the guy ended up with a big old nasty cut, and next thing I know, it's not bleeding, and I go after the fights, and it's dark, and I see him a year later in Vegas, and he said that literally they had to cut that dead tissue out, that the Montat solution, because it burned the tissue.
Yep.
It's a sulfuric base, so it burned the tissue.
Okay.
But it worked.
Okay. We don't have the talent, per se, per quantity wise, that we had in the 80s. But we've got guys like Teofimo Lopez, and I bring him up again because I think he's a special guy. In other words, I think he's almost like, he's like a smarter version of Hector Camacho, because Hector was reckless. I mean, the Harlem Heckler, and he loved that name. I nicknamed him the Harlem Heckler, and I thought he was going to give me some heat on it. He loved that name.
Yeah.
Doesn't that fit him though, the Harlem Heckler?
That's great, man. I love it.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, when you look back at Camacho, this guy Teofimo Lopez, he sort of got a little bit of the same attitude, and I think he might be a little bit more disciplined because, you know, once Camacho was disciplined, when he wasn't doing that Colombian dust, he was the best fighter in the world, best boxer.
Yeah, he was tremendous. Yeah, he would just slip and slide. Okay. You know, but, yeah, so it's because, you know, Mike Basil and myself are talking about, because, you know, we're the house cut men.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought us in because they can only bring the fighter and two trainers. So a lot of them don't have cut men. So we came in. But I would love to work with Teofimo Lopez. I think Russ Amber is going to be working with Lomachenko. They'll bring him in specifically for that. But I'd love to work with him. I think it's just to be part of that fight is going to be awesome.
Okay, listen, I know you're with your wife, so I'm going to let you go. And her name is Charlotte, so we want to give Charlotte all kinds of props because she's had to put up with your crap for 30-something years.
Yeah, I agree, Pedro. That's why I'm taking her out to lunch right now.
All the best to you both, man.
All right, God bless you, man. Thanks for the call.
Jacob Stitchstrand, one of my favorite guys, no doubt about that. We go back like 45 years. I remember fighting in these little tiny golden glove fights and early on, and then of course before that it was in the boys club fights, and Jacob Stitchstrand was always there, and of course he wanted to become a cut man desperately. He wanted to become a cut man, and he went to Sonny Marson, who was like 86 years old now, and he's a boxing sort of institution per se in Northern California. He got in trouble with the golden gloves, but you know, outside of that, he was a cut man. He was a guy that learned how to do cuts by working on horses. He had a farm. His girlfriend had a farm down there in Woodside, California, something like that, where they used to where his horses would get cut, and then he would use his cut medicine on the horses in order to figure out how to do it. Anyway, that's how he became a cut man. He didn't want to give up his secrets at all. And Jacob Stitchstrand went to him and said, "Hey man, can you teach me how to become a cut man?" He said, "No, blood, I'm not going to help you." And he basically told him to F off. So at the end of the day, Sonny, that wasn't a smooth move. Now back to the world of combat sports. I mentioned Brian Ortega, of course, the heir apparent to greatness in my mind, the Mexican-American, he could have been an iconic fighter, of course, got lit up by Max Holloway, going to go with the Korean Zombie October 18th, of course, it's going to be from the Tech Day, October 18th, from the Flash Forum in Dubai. That's the last fight card in Dubai. I think they're coming back to Vegas after that for UFC Fight Night 181. That's going to be on Halloween. So in other words, Halloween's going to have three boxing matches and three or four boxing cards on live TV and the UFC. Good Lord. Even if you've got a DVR, holy cow, we want to watch five programs on the same night. The old good old overdose. Back to Khabib. October 24th, of course, probably coming to you from, that's going to be in Dubai because, you know, he wants to be able to bring all his relatives with him and more power to him. But Khabib taking on Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje, good fighter, no doubt about that. But man, you can't fight a guy, you can't beat a guy 30 pounds bigger than you. Because like I said to you before, and I'll say it time and time again, size matters in two things. Combat sports and pornography. Outside of that, size can be, you know, look the other way on size. I mean, sometimes short basketball players can be tall basketball players. But guess what? It ain't going to happen here. I mean, Khabib is just going to come in like at 155, 180 pounds. The other guy's going to come in 165, 100 pounds, and he's going to try to put up a decent fight with a 15-pound weight disadvantage and strength disadvantage. It ain't happening. That's why these guys have got to weigh in a little bit sooner than they do. I'm talking about sooner to the fight. People say, oh, you know, guys will get dehydrated. Well, then they're not fighting at the weight they should be fighting at. That's all there is to it. I mean, they used to make me fight weighing at 5 o'clock in the afternoon over there at the Concord Pavilion, where I went undefeated. Anyway, they would make me weighing at the Concord Pavilion like at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I have to fight at 7 o'clock at night. So I'd starve all day to make the weigh-in at 5 o'clock and then eat like a few nuts and bolts and that kind of good stuff, some almonds and, you know, and nothing really, and drink some espresso before I go out there to fight. But outside of that, there wasn't enough time to gain any weight. A little bit of water, that's about it, okay? But these guys who weigh in, I fought Ernie Chavez in the Nationals back in the 1984 National Golden Gloves. I fought him in welterweight, which was a mistake, but I had beaten these guys at welterweight down there in the valley, and I said to myself, well, if I could beat these guys, I could beat anybody at welterweight, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I went and hooked up with Ernie Chavez. We weighed in 100, I weighed 141, he weighed 147 on a Tuesday. When we fought on a Thursday, he weighed 164 pounds, and he kicked my RC. Bottom line is, size matters in two things. Pornography and combat sports. Tower of Power to the break.
You're still a young man, baby. Ooh, don't waste your time. You're still
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9. Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9.
My prescription to you is that you go to ESPN October 17th and watch this fight. Vasyl Lomachenko, was he 14-1, of course, lost that one fight when he got mugged by Mr. Salido, Orlando Salido. But at the end of the day, pound for pound, he might be the greatest fighter in boxing right now. And Teofimo Lopez, undefeated from Brooklyn, New York, his people are from Honduras. The kid's got a lot of ability, a lot of intestinal fortitude. This is going to be the fight of the year. If last night's fight wasn't fight of the year. Bottom line is, let's talk about the day in boxing history. Today, 1940, Ray Robinson made his professional debut. That's right, Sugar Ray Robinson. Of course, born Walker Smith. I interviewed him in 1984. He was a class act to be around. 1965, Orla Norris was born. Mickey Ward was born in 1965 as well, of course, in Lowell, Massachusetts. Of course, he was the guy that was him and Arturi Gatti had those wars. In Naples, Italy in 1969, Nino Benvenuti retained the world middleweight title with a seven-round phase TKO over Frazier Scott. In 1980, Eusebio Pedroza. Man, he was a bad dude. Beat Rocky Lockridge and retained the WBA featherweight title. Bottom line is, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, we come to you live Saturday and Sunday on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 211, the Dan Patrick Channel. But we also come to you 24/7 in podcasts at anchor.com. So don't forget, go to anchor.com, look up Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Until next time. My name is Pedro Fernandez. You can be doing a million things right now. The fact you listen to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, well, me and my executive producer, Scott Cuddy, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Bottom line is, this is Ring Talk. Until next time.